The following episode of TOEFOP is rated MA for mature audiences. It may contain sexual references, time travel references, allegations of binge misconduct, and mild coarse language. TOEFOP advises that this episode is not suitable for anyone under the age of 15 or anyone who thinks a comedy conversation between two old mates sounds like a terrible idea for a show. Minors must be accompanied by a parent or guardian. This is John Deek speaking.
Everyone relax, this is TOEFOP. I'm Charlie Clawson.
I'm Will Anderson.
And what must be the most hotly hyped return of a show in ages?
We're back.
2 weeks ago, we said we're
with
back.
Another compilation episode. This is my fault. I apologise to the listeners at home. I've had a couple of other things come up in the last 2 days that have prevented us from doing a brand new episode. It's been, legitimate reasons not to have got shit done is what I would say.
Well, that's the one legitimate reason. When you're in a hurry, you know what you don't need to visit? The Roads and Maritime Service.
Right. That was this afternoon. Yeah. In fact, I probably shouldn't say this on the podcast, but in your driveway currently, there is a car with no number plates on it, which I immediately have to take home and not drive until I can get registration papers sent from Victoria in the mail, which will take 7 to 10 days. Oh, so great. Anyway, it's great. I live in the middle of the country and I suddenly have no car apart from the one I'm illegally driving home from this to my house in a couple of minutes. So anyway, by the time people hear this, I won't be committing that crime anymore, so it'll be fine.
Did they say there is an exemption if you have to podcast? Is it like an essential worker?
I said, do you think it's okay to drive this home and put it in the garage rather than leave it here in the car park of the RMS? And they said, look, it probably is fine to just drive it directly home. And I was like, well, Charlie's house is technically on the way home. And so I thought, well, that's fine. I'm still on the way home. But I thought, well I can't do a whole episode. That would be
pushing the favor.
That would be pushing. If I'm halfway through, we're riffing something funny in the middle, suddenly the RMS bursts through the doors. They're like towing my car out in the driveway. No, this is just a stop in for us to do an intro and some ads.
Yeah. Not some ads. We're talking about a compilation episode.
Well, I meant we had to do some ads for another podcast.
Yeah, but this was the priority. We like doing ads and apps. Everything. For any sponsors listening, we love doing the ads. But this is more for the hardcore teabaggers. And the reason I bring that up is that we're going to listen to a compilation of things that teabaggers love, which is when we break down lyrics and poems.
Do they love that?
I don't know. I'm assuming they do, because if they don't,
if they don't, anyway, if you don't, then avoid this episode. We put them all in the one place.
Now, I'm just going up the running list that Podcast Mike has sent us. Podcast Mike, who I saw the other day in a clip that went viral with a couple of nobodies called Hamish and Andy, getting in on the act. I'm like, wait a minute, they're going to take out, was he's our
a,
guy.
Was he on a, well, he was their guy.
I know.
Before he was our guy.
He's our guy.
Yeah. Now that we've brought him down to our level. What was their clip that went viral?
It was just like, their podcast. It was just a video of them, like some gag.
Just a video of them doing their podcast and it went viral.
But it took me by surprise because I don't think I saw Podcast Mike reposted. I just saw it independently of him. And there's Hamish and Andy and there's Podcast Mike on the couch hanging out with a couple of bloody heavyweights.
He's the Forrest Gump of podcasting. Just any famous podcasting photo, Podcast Mike is there in the background.
All right. So what you're going to hear in this is the I Wish lyrics, which we broke down in the last episode of 2020. So maybe start in reverse. If you've listened to everything since Christmas, then maybe you want to skip to the end and then go back if you feel like you still can't quite remember the I Wish lyrics. There's one of my personal favorites from an episode called Toothpaste. Do you know what that's about?
The lyrics to
a poem
by Pam Ayres,
which is clearly about a burgeoning teenage sexuality.
It is hard to get the lid back on it.
And then we broke down the lyrics of In the Air Tonight and the urban legend associated with it. And just because Mike thought it was a great story, he's also going to include the anecdote about your interview with Julia Gillard for Philosophy.
Yes.
Doesn't really fit in. But this is when you know we're padding.
Exactly. This wasn't meant to be an episode. We were meant to be doing a new episode. But damn you, RMS and other various factors that I won't bring up right now.
And now, here's us. Have you seen that TV show Upload on Amazon Prime?
No.
It's about, it's a sci-fi comedy where when you die, you get uploaded to heaven. And depending on what you can afford is your version of heaven. And so the story is told from the point of view of like the guy who's died and been uploaded to this, you know, paradise. And the IT operator, the girl who communicates with him, is kind of his angel. And that's exactly what happens. If he ever gets stuck or has a question, she just appears next to him and explains, you know, this is how you pay for things in the virtual world or whatever. It's quite good. I really like it. But they do play with the idea of just making yourself that little bit hotter, like, you know, when you appear in virtual reality. It's like they look normal when they're, you know, talking, when the girl's operating from the IT room. I mean, she's still hot because it's a TV show. Like, she's still beautiful by anyone's standard, but she's 10% hotter when she's in virtual reality.
Which I think is probably just going to be the appeal and how they're able to sell it to us. Is they're just like, we can make you look 10% hotter and we'll be like,
I wish I was a little bit taller. Wish was a baller. Wish I had a rabbit and a hat, I would call her, or something. Is that how it goes?
So I don't have my phone next to me. Hang on.
What do you want me to look?
Who was that?
What? I wish I was a little bit taller. Yeah,
I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller.
Two Live Crew or something? Or
here we go.
Belbit DeVoe or...
By Old School Dub.
Never heard of them before.
Well, you might remember from them from their song, I Wish.
I remember
which
that.
Is this song. Hey, this is radio station WSKEE. We're taking calls on the Wish line, making all your wacky wishes come true. Hello. So this is the Wish. I assume that's the setup.
Yeah.
I wish I was a little bit taller.
Yeah.
I wish I was a baller.
Yeah.
I wish I had a girl who looked good. I would call her.
Why did I think of a rabbit in a hat?
I wish I had a rabbit in a hat.
Yeah, why would you call a rabbit in a hat, Charlie? That doesn't make any sense.
So it didn't seem to make a lot of sense when you were saying it, but yeah. I wish I had a rabbit in a hat. I would call her. Now, are you mistaking a rabbit in a hat for a phone? Are you talking about the rabbit?
I wish I had a pair of glasses because I just tried to make a call with a rabbit.
I think I've had a stroke. I wish I was a little bit taller. I wish I was a baller. I wish I had a girl who looked good. I would call her. I wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat.
What?
I wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat.
Because it rhymes?
Because it rhymes. And a cat. And a 6'4 Impala.
All right, we have to go back. So he wants a rabbit in a hat and a bat with a cat.
No, I added cat.
All right. But it's like Dr. Seuss.
Imperceptible from the actual lyrics of the song. I wish I had a rabbit in a hat with a bat.
All right. What does that mean?
Very political. Like, he's talking Wuhan, wet markets.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So he'd kill the infected animal before it gets out.
He goes, rabbit in a hat and a bat.
Yeah.
And a 6'4 Impala. What's a 6'4 Impala? Is that
it's
like a...
It's a hot car. Like,
yeah, so that's rider. He's going to run over the rabbit, the hat and the bat and stop a global infection.
Is a rabbit in a hat like a metaphor for something? Like, I'm going to have good luck? I wish I had good luck? I had magic or something?
I wish I had a rabbit in a hat.
Like when you say to someone, wow, you put a rabbit out of a hat.
Yeah.
It's like the ability to kind of get out of any situation. That's what I'm going to say.
Yeah, okay. But and then what? And just a bat?
A bat. Like a cricket bat. After I get out of this situation, I'm going to bat off. A bat. I'm going to bat off.
Okay. And a 6'4 Impala.
Yeah.
I wish I was like, okay. Now he's going to say how tall he wishes he was. How tall do you think this person who wishes he was a little bit taller?
So it's a pop culture reference from the 90s, like a basketballer of some kind?
Well, he actually says the height.
Oh, okay.
Is what I'm saying.
Exact height. 6'3".
Right. So because the lyrics are, I wish I was a little bit taller.
Yeah.
The lyrics aren't, I wish I was considerably taller than I already am. Literally just saying 10%. I wish I was a little bit taller.
Yeah.
And so then it's interesting to me that his answer is, I wish I was like 6'9", which implies to me
he's already
six foot six. He's fucking massive. Yeah. This guy doesn't need to be any taller. I wish I was like 6'9" so I can get with Lyoshi.
Oh.
Because she don't know me, but yo, she's really fine.
Okay. Well,
you know, I see her all the time.
That sounds, all of that's wrong.
Everywhere I go, and even in my dreams, I can scheme a way to make her mine.
Oh my God, hang on. This is just like a hard turn.
You were talking about being taller.
That's, having a rabbit in a hat.
And suddenly it's all like...
Although I must admit, he did talk about a girl who looked good, he would call her. So
yeah.
He did
suggest this was coming.
But he was very general in the opening paragraph. I thought he was talking about any sort of girl who looked good.
Yeah, and
he
would call her. Specifically Loesha.
Specifically this girl, Leosha, who I've been following. Leoshi, sorry.
Leoshi.
Who I've been following around. I can't see over her fence because I'm only 6'6". all right, here we go. Everywhere I go and even in my dreams, I can scheme a way to make her mine. Because, well, okay, firstly, even in your dreams, that is the easiest place to scheme a way to make her your own.
I think what he's trying to say is he obsesses over the scheme.
Okay. Because I know she's living fat.
P-H-A.
P-H-A-T.
Yeah.
Her boyfriend's tall and he plays ball.
Oh, that's why he wants to be tall. He's jealous.
That's why he wants to be tall and that's why he wants to be able to play ball. Because he wishes he's a ball. I wish I was a little bit taller.
It's not baller as in...
No, I think it's quite literally...
Basketballer.
He wishes he was a basketballer. So is this a song by a guy who was like tall, but just not tall enough to be a really good
Spud
basketballer?
Webb.
Right? Lyrics by S. Webb.
Yeah, no, even better, Phil Smythe. I'd love to see Phil Smythe in the studio with his hood up and his bald head just bobbing away with his like hair growing out the back as he just listened to the beat going, I think I got some lyrics for this. Yo, give me the mic. Yo, Andrew Gaze, chuck me the mic. Andrew Gaze chucks it and Leonard Copeland comes flying in and alley-oops it.
Someone contacted us, Will, about a certain poet who's decided to chime in on this whole pandemic. Lovely lady you might know called...
Or is it a pandemic or is it a...
Pandemic. Lovely. That's right. Pam Ayres, my nemesis, the woman who ruined my chances of ever being hired on Round the Twist, has chimed in. A few people have tweeted this to us. So, Will, let's go through line by line and soak up the genius of Pam Ayres. So, she starts off, at last we have a cure for all. Ailments large and ailments small. Good health is not...
So, hang on. Let's not rush through this.
Let's not burn the steps.
So, at last we have a cure for all.
Ailments large.
Very Thanos. Very Thanos first line there, Pam Ayres. At least I have. Ailments large and ailments small. Is that what it was? Okay. All right. I'm in. Yep.
Good health is not beyond my reach.
Okay. Yep.
If I...
Get to the point, Pam.
If I inject myself with bleach...
Ooh,
oh, Pam Ayres.
Got him.
Who knew Pam Ayres was going to get political?
When did Pam Ayres become Bill Hicks?
Radiant, I'll prance along, every trace of my lime scale gone. That's actually pretty good.
Now, is Radiant a cleaning product? Is that what she's saying? Or is it Radiant
a double
Radiant
was... Well, in Australia, Radiant is like a laundry detergent, I believe.
So is there... Is there a play on words there? Is she doing a double meaning or is she just being radiant? Radiant's an interesting interesting word to choose.
Podcast Mike, can you just Google if Radiant, there's a disinfectant brand called Radiant or a bleach called Radiant? I'm going to say yes, because I only know this because specifically with when you have a baby, Will, and you start using sterilizers and stuff, you have to be aware of lime scale because you're constantly using steam and stuff. So every couple of weeks, I de-lime scale the baby's sterilizer. I don't use Radiant. I use white vinegar.
When you said you're using sterilizers after having a baby, I was like, on you or on Gemma?
God damn it. Radiant, I'll prance along. Oh, hang on, Mike. Can't find it. Okay, so maybe Pam is just a coincidence. Radiant, I'll prance along. Every trace of the lime scale gone. With disinfectant as my friend, like him, I'm clean round the bend. You're scowling. You didn't like that little... I thought that was actually the cleverest line of the whole poem.
Okay, so...
She didn't mention him by name.
Yeah, so him. He who shall not be named.
He shall not be named.
Orange Voldemort.
Yeah. With disinfectant as my friend, like him, I'm clean round the bend.
Clean round the bend. So she's saying that he is bananas. He is clean round the bend, right? Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
But she's also saying that her toilet would be, you'd clean the toilet and the bend in the toilet would be clean? Or is that, have I gone a step too far there in what I'm reading into this? Is it just her internal organs that are clean around the bend? What's the bend in relation to her?
I would assume, oh, in relation to her?
Yeah.
Well, no, she's saying like him, I'm clean around the bend. I think that refers to insane. But the double meaning is the S-bend of your toilet. You disinfect your toilet, you clean around the S-bend.
Yeah, okay. So that's, so she's saying that her internal organs are like a toilet's internal workings, that she has some sort of S-bend? Is that what she's saying?
Yes. Yes. She's saying she is like a human toilet. How many likes and retweets do you think this has got? I want you to guess.
Likes. How many followers does she have?
70,000.
70,000.
I can't believe that. I can't believe she does. But she does. How old is she? Hey, podcast Mike, can you just Google Pam Ayres for us, please? Can you just send us a link to the Wikipedia page for Pam Ayres? I can't believe we haven't done this deep dive sooner. Or did we do this deep dive? No, we just went and looked at poems.
I can't remember us ever exploring the backstory of Pam Ayres. Okay. I think this is the important content that people need in the middle of a pandemic.
All right. So let's dig deep on Pam Ayres, because she must be like, I'm looking at her.
Well, firstly, I'm going to do likes and retweets. Okay. I'm going to say it's had 6,000 likes and it's had 4,500 retweets.
You are so wrong. A higher for both.
It's had 20,000 likes and it's had 15,000 retweets.
Lower for retweets, higher for likes.
Ah, okay. So, yeah, it's had more likes than people sharing.
Yeah.
Fucking internet. If you like it enough to like it, why not fucking retweet it? That's what I'd say. All too political for me. Don't want to get some Pam Ayres fire on my... Get the trolls coming out after me after I've fucking posted a Pam Ayres John Oliver-style takedown of Donald Trump. I will say... Okay, so it's had... What did you say? More likes.
Yeah.
Less retweets.
Yep.
So it's had 50,000, what did I say before? 100,000 likes and 20,000 retweets.
No. You said 20,000 likes. It's okay. Higher. And you said 15,000 retweets.
50,000 likes, 15,000 retweets.
No. I'm just going to tell you because this is going to take too long.
I want us to keep guessing until I get it exactly. No, go on. Tell me.
28,000 likes. And 8,000, almost 7,000. That she's one off 7. You know what? I'm going to retweet her to get her to 9,000 retweets. Yeah, I just tipped her over to 9,000. You can thank me for that, Pan. Yeah, so there you go. 9,000 retweets and 28. I mean, that's incredibly popular for some. Because I've just, all right, so we've brought up her info. She's 73 years old. And this is her stock and trade, is these poems. And she's got 9,000 retweets. 30,000 likes.
Yeah, but you know, it's been passed on by people who aren't traditional Pam Ayres fans. This has gone out of your Pam Ayres world into your world of people going, look at this. This is a zing, a takedown.
Oh, you think like Trevor Noah or someone who's like some kind of lefty comedian?
They gave Pam Ayres a shout on Chapo Trap House.
I mean, this is the thing. I'm looking at a Wikipedia page now, and for someone who has that many retweets and likes, this is one of the thinnest Wikipedia pages. It's literally like four paragraphs. Okay. So let me lay a bit of airs on you. Let me put on some airs and graces, Will. All right, so she was born in 1947. She's an English poet, a comedian, songwriter, and presenter of radio and television programs. Her 1975 appearance in the television show Opportunity Knocks led to appearances on TV and radio shows, a one-woman touring stage show, and she performed for the Queen. All right. She was born in Stanford Vale, Berkshire. Okay, and that's just all about her. They've literally got her academic history. okay. Bob Dylan inspired Pam Ayres to write poetry. And in 2006, she added that at the age of 12, she enjoyed writing parodies of the Lonnie Donegan songs popular at the time.
Much like her idol, Bob Dylan.
All right, okay. So her career started in 1975 on Opportunity Knocks. Do you know what that... Have you ever heard of that show?
Opportunity Knocks was like a TV talent show, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, and so that led to a wide variety of guest appearances on TV and radio. Since then, she's published 6 books of poems, toured a one-woman stage show, hosted her own TV show and performed. So she's only written 6 books. She's 73. I would have thought she'd be much more prolific considering how popular she appears to be.
Yeah, and how quick it seems to be to write her fucking ditties.
Her poetry has a deceptively simple style. Is it deceptively simple? Or is it just simple?
Isn't that great when people are just like, look, it could just be simple or it could be deceptively simple.
She has a deceptively simple style and deals with everyday subject matter. Her poem, Oh, I Wished I Looked After Me Teeth.
You know what I remember about that poem, Charlie? It was what? Deceptively simple.
It was voted in the top 10 of a BBC poll to find the nation's 100 favourite comic poems. Mm-hmm. In the UK Arts Council's report on poetry, Ayres was identified as the fifth best-selling poet in Britain between 1998 and 1999. And then after that, it says citation needed, which I reckon Pam's been bloody getting into her own Wikipedia page. Like, that's a very narrow gap. That's like a period of 12 months. Ayres continues to perform her work, the humorous quality of which is enhanced by her idiosyncratic delivery and by her distinctive North Berkshire accent. Do you know what that sounds like? North Berkshire?
No.
No. From 96, Ayres has appeared frequently on BBC Radio. From 96 to 99, she presented a two-hour music and chat show on Sunday afternoons. It was followed by the series Pam Ayres Open Road, in which she visited various parts of the UK, interviewing people with interesting stories to tell about their lives and local areas. More recently, she's become a contributor to Radio 4 on programs like Just a Minute, that reminds me of blah, blah, blah. Okay. Oh, here we go. In 2007, Ayres acted in a radio sitcom called Potting On for Radio 4. She wrote and recorded a 6 series of her Radio 4 program, Ayres on the Air. Oh, of course. She's getting into some legal territory there with the puns. Ayres on the Air, which is broadcast in 2018. Since then, she's appeared a number of times on Countdown. She's been on QI a few times.
Okay.
Hmm. Oh, that's some legitimacy. In 2011, she said in a Daily Telegraph magazine interview that she was about to go on her 14th tour of Australia. Oh, do you think she's one of those British celebrities that is inexplicably popular here?
Well, from the amount of time we've dedicated to her on this podcast, I would say yes.
Her biography, The Necessary Aptitude, a memoir, was published in 2011. It traces her life and career from growing up as the youngest of 6 children in a council house to her time in the Women's Royal Air Force and the string of events that led to opportunity knocks. The title refers to the number of times she was told in her life she did not have the necessary aptitude. In 2013, she published her latest book of poems, You Made Me Late Again.
Pam has appeared 3 times for the Queen. At the Silver Jubilee Royal Variety Performance in 1977, at a Royal Gala charity reception at St. James Palace in 1996, when Pam, as the only entertainer, performed part of her solo stage show. So, essentially, she's just come in and done her one-woman show for one woman, the Queen. She was like a private dancer dancing for money, a private rhymer rhyming for money.
I wish I could remember which of her poem. Oh, you know what? I think I'm going to just Google. I remember it was something about like eating dessert. Pam Ayres eating dessert. Pam Ayres eating cake. Pam Ayres dessert. Because I think it was all about how much I love eating dessert. No. I can't say anything there. Oh, look, I found, I wish I'd looked after my teeth. Do you want me to lay some of that on you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I wish I'd looked after me teeth and spotted the perils beneath. All the toffees I chewed and the sweet sticky food. Oh, I wish I'd looked after me teeth. I wish I'd been that much more willin' when I had more tooth there than fillin' to pass up gobstoppers from respect to me choppers and to buy something else with me shillin'. And when I think of the lollies I licked and the licorice all sorts I picked, sherbet dabs, little and big, all that hard peanut brittle, my conscience gets horribly pricked. My mother, she told me no end. If you've got a tooth, you got a friend. I was young then and careless. My toothbrush was hairless. I never had much time to spend. I always showed them the toothpaste all right. I flashed it about late at night. But up and down brushing and poking and fussing Didn't seem worth the time. I could bite. If I'd known I was paving the way to cavities, caps and decay, the murder of fillings, injections and drillings, I'd have thrown all my sherbet away. So I lay in the old dentist chair and I gaze up his nose in despair, and his drill, it do whine in these molars of mine. To amalgam, he'll say, for in there. What does that mean? To amalgam, he'll say, for in there. I don't know. How I laughed at my mother's false teeth as they foamed in the waters beneath. But now they come reckoning. It's me they are beckoning. Oh, I wish I'd looked after my teeth.
Well, I would say, Charlie, that is deceptively shit.
It's so... I don't understand, like, what is going on? How can this... Not only has she ruined, like, my potential, like, acting career, but she's a terrible poet who's performed 3 times for the Queen.
Is there any double meaning to that? Is that just a poem about somebody wishing they'd looked after their teeth? Or is it a poem about... There was a bit in the middle where I was like, oh, maybe this is actually about all the boys she dated. Like, this is like a double meaning.
This is
the
thing.
It's like, you know, my milkshake brings all the boys to the yard. There's kind of like a double meaning going on here.
Yeah. When I think of all the lollies I licked, yeah. I mean, come on, that only means one thing, right? Only means one thing.
Her first draft was all the... Pam's husband's like, Pam, do you think when I think of all the dicks that I've sucked is really what you should be doing on Opportunity Knox? You don't think you could just tone it down a little?
Well, can we get to some mail? Because we've got a backlog.
Oh, just quickly before that, I want to tell you a quick little story. Because today we're doing this podcast, but on the background in Skype, you have the backdrop from our other podcast, our footy podcast. If you like AFL or you just like us talking, and to be honest, we rarely talk about the game of AFL. We just talk about weird characters from the sport and, you know, nonsense fan fiction adventures and complete and utter rubbish. So if you like this podcast, you'll probably like that. You can ignore the fact that it's about football, but you have the backdrop from that behind you. And as a bit of a running joke, a bit of an off-air running joke we've had between the TOEFOP team, yourself, myself, and podcast Mike. Normally when we're arranging times on our little WhatsApp group, you know, it'll be like, can we do 7:45 on Monday night, which is what we did tonight. And, you know, there'll be a thumbs up or a yes, that's fine. And I send the emoji with sunglasses on.
Mm.
And I've been sending that emoji with sunglasses on for a good 6 months. And then the other day, Charlie, you were like...
What does that mean?
Now, did you really not know what it meant?
No. I mean, I assumed it was good. Like, I didn't know, but I didn't know what it meant. Like, because it kind of looks like a drug dealer. He's got these, like, dark glasses on. He's got this, like, smug expression. It's, I didn't know what it meant. I mean, when you told me it means it's cool, it made total sense. But I just was always like, I don't know. I just, to me, it felt very ambivalent.
You've never typed cool into your phone and just had that emoji come up?
No.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, anyway, so it means cool. And then we discovered that not only did it look like a drug dealer, it looked like a specific picture of former Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott with drug dealer sunglasses on. And so that has now become my response. And I've written on Tony Abbott's head the word cool. And now I send that instead of the original emoji. And it's just amusing. It's just amusing to send that picture of Tony Abbott. So then the other week, I decided I would take this a step further. And as my background on my Skype call, I put in the background this picture of Tony Abbott. And it's been on there for a week. Today, I recorded an episode of Philosophy with former Australian Prime Minister and, fair to say, not necessarily best pals, Julia Gillard.
No way.
So.
Oh, my God. Did you completely forget?
So, no, I did not forget. Podcast Mike and I went on the call together first to just sort out what the logistics of it all were going to be. And it came up as my backdrop. And I made a special point of changing my backdrop just over to my normal office backdrop. And I joked about how, you know, I was like, imagine if that had been in the background when we called Julia Gillard, right?
It'd be amazing.
So, I then had to hang up on Podcast Mike so we could start a new call with Julia and Podcast Mike at the same time. And through something that I don't understand, when I then made that call, it reverted.
Oh my God.
It reverted to the Tony Abbott backdrop. And, like, I mean, I don't. So, podcast Mike's also on the call at the same time. And all he would have seen me do is just launch myself towards the computer to try to, like, push buttons to make it go away. And I still don't know if she saw it. I think probably in the blur of us starting something, she wouldn't recognize what it was. I got it down quick enough. But I definitely started a call with the former Prime Minister with the picture of her mortal enemy on the backdrop.
That is fucking hilarious. That's unbelievable. I mean, how do you think she would have taken it? Like, you're a comedian, so, I mean, I know that's not your, you're not like a prankster kind of comedian, but, you know, do you think she would have taken it well?
I mean, I would have had to waste 40 minutes of the podcast explaining to her why it was there in the first place and apologising, so it wouldn't have been great for the listeners, but yeah. I think we eventually would have got there.
My idiot friend doesn't know what an emoji is, and so we had this joke going around, and then I saved this photo of Tony Abbott, and then I wrote on top of it, cool, and it's really funny. You should follow the WhatsApp group. I'll add you. Here we go. Look. Now Julia Gillard's part of the TOEFOP WhatsApp. Because you're too embarrassed to tell her. Oh, that's great. That's awesome. And podcast Mike, I imagine you weren't running video on that, unfortunately. That would have been amazing. I mean, that would be a Patreon level. We could put that right at the top of the tree on Patreon. If you want to see Will desperately trying to close a photo of Tony Abbott as Julia Gillard comes online, I mean, we could put that behind like a $100 level, I reckon.
I mean, honestly, I reacted like somebody who was caught watching porn. Like, just the launching at the computer. Like, I almost slammed it shut. I almost hung up on her just because I was like, oh my God.
Oh my God, that is brilliant. What's the rumor about in the air tonight? That it was based on a true story about, it's Phil wrote it because he knows that a friend of his saw someone drowning and turned the other way. That's like, because, well, as Eminem explained to us, you know that song by Phil Collins, In the Air Tonight, where a guy saw another guy drowning and Phil saw it all, and after his concert he felt something like that. Do you know what the urban myth is?
Well, that's, I believe that's kind of what the urban myth is, but it's not about that.
In the Air Tonight truth.
But yeah, look at
myth. In the Air Tonight myth. Okay, here we go. All right, fact check. This is from Snopes.
Great.
Got to ruin everything, don't they, Snopes?
It's good that Snopes have got involved in this, though. In between, like, debunking Donald Trump's lies and stuff like that, it's good that they suddenly... Guys, Phil Collins In the Air Tonight. That's the one we're doing today.
Okay, so In the Air Tonight, false rumor holds that Phil Collins wrote the song In the Air Tonight after witnessing an incident in which a man refused to come to the aid of a drowning swimmer. Okay. Of all pop songs for which elaborate apocryphal backstories have been created to explicate the lyrics, all right, fucking
calm down, Snopes.
Phil Collins' 1981 hit In the Air Tonight from his, what album was it from? Could you tell me?
No Jacket Required.
It's the only album I know as well. But that is wrong. It's called Face Value. And perhaps the most varied and fantastic set of legends associated with it.
Okay, great.
Encompassing adultery, rape, murder, drowning, and the dramatic exposure of a reprehensible wrongdoer resulting in an arrest or suicide, the narratives all include despicable acts either witnessed by Phil Collins or visited upon him and his family or friends, inspiring the musician to exact a form of revenge by encapsulating the experience in the lyrics of a song. Okay.
Also, just before even we get into what those rumors are, what a great insight into how people think Phil Collins operates. That if he sees an injustice done, he'll just write a Phil Collins song about it.
Why don't you save him from drowning? Maybe the guy didn't save him because he couldn't swim. And he thought, what is the point of two of us going out there in jail? I'll just make the situation worse.
The guy's like, hey, Phil, do you want to have a hand in this? And Phil's over there with the notepad.
Buddy. You wait.
Phil's drawing a set with a giant set of drums. Maybe I could get him to like fall from the roof.
Okay, every once in a while, I'll hear someone mention that there's a story behind the Phil Collins song In the Air Tonight. This seems to be a quote from someone, so I'm not
this
sure.
Will be the inquiry, probably.
Okay, right. At any rate, Phil supposedly wrote this song after watching another man watch someone drown. He was too drunk or stoned to help himself. Okay, well, it's still fair enough. Like, I think
in that situation, maybe you should just call for help, call an ambulance or call police rescue or something like that. The other man apparently could have done something to save the drowning person, but he didn't. One version of the story even has Phil doing detective work.
Oh, I love it.
Phil Collins, the gumshoe. One version of the story even has Phil doing detective work to find the identity of the bystander, inviting him to a concert for free without revealing why.
Oh, yeah, great. Perfect.
And then perfect. Humiliating him in front of a huge crowd. The guy's wife divorces him and he loses his job.
Yes. That would be the great end of every episode if it was Phil Collins detective, Angela Lansbury, Murder, She Wrote style. And every week Phil has to solve a case and then the final scene is the concert where he's invited that person to the concert and he's written a song about them.
It's a pretty, like, what is your end game there? Like, to humiliate this guy, what are you hoping will happen? Is this guy will be so shamed that he'll then turn himself in?
Yeah.
I mean, there's other ways to do it, isn't there?
Well, I guess it's just a public unmask.
What if the song wasn't a hit? Like, what if you released it and it was such a bomb that, like, you can't really fit it into your show? Or he starts playing it and people at the concert start going to get snacks and drinks.
There's a whole bunch of other people who are just like, oh, yeah, he tried to publicly shame me, but the song was shit. And no, most of the people were at the bar, so I got away with it.
Okay, so this is what they've compiled here. This is all the rumors that Snopes have compiled about this. So this person said... all right, this is definitely true, except the part about the spotlight. Although he was in the guy in question was in the front row. It probably looked like the spotlight was on him, but it wasn't. And right after the show, the guy in question killed himself.
Ooh.
So Phil, boy. I mean, if like you've just two people have died. It's a tragedy twice now, and you're complicit in that. Someone should write in the air tonight too about
Phil Collins. Yeah. They invite Phil Collins to a concert, and he's sitting in the front row, and they're like, well, we've got two drum kits.
Yeah.
Watch out, Phil Collins.
Okay, this is another person. It says, okay, my first girlfriend was a big Genesis Phil Collins fan, and according to something she'd heard, In the Air Tonight was inspired by Phil finding his then wife in bed with another man and at a party they were attending.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight.
Maybe. Another person says, what I heard about the song is it's Phil, or the storyteller, noting that a friend watched someone drown in a lake and did not offer help. Another person says, I heard that Phil Collins, when he was small... Oh, small Phil. Still looked like he was 50. I imagine...
When he was an 8-year-old, he looked like he was 50.
He witnessed an individual drowning another individual. Okay, so murder. Apparently, the individual looked up and spotted Phil. To this day, at every concert, Phil starts out singing this song as an accusation aimed at this individual. I like this one. This is a very colloquial way it's written. Last night at happy hour, good old Phil came on the jukebox singing in the air tonight. Me and the boys got to talking and doing the drum solo when one of them mentions what sounds to me like a UL, urban legend. He says the inspiration for this song came from years ago. Phil's wife had been assaulted and Phil knew who it was. Much later at night, Phil's walking around a lake when he hears a call for help from the lake. Some guy's drowning. Phil swims out to save the guy. But when he reaches him, it's the guy who assaulted his wife. He lets him go, swims back to shore and lets him drown. And then writes a song about it. All right, so traumatic night for Phil. His wife has been assaulted. He goes for a swim for some reason, rather than spending like staying with his wife.
No, there's a guy drowning. Oh, well, he's out and about.
Well, his wife's been attacked. Like, don't you stay with her? Make sure she's okay. He's like,
I'm going for a walk down the lake
at night. And it just. But then again, the guy who committed the assault. Why is he swimming?
What's he doing? Trying to make a break for it.
Another person says, the version of the story that I heard is that Phil's wife is assaulted. Phil finds out where the guy lives. He arranges to play a concert at the guy's hometown. A ticket is sent to his house. Phil debuts the song at the concert.
Okay, so if you've just watched someone like drown or watched someone be murdered.
Yeah.
And you receive a ticket to a Phil Collins concert in the mail. Do you immediately go to the concert? Would you be suspicious that you got a free Phil Collins ticket?
Yes. I mean...
I'd be sus on any free ticket to a Phil Collins gig from now on.
Yes.
Just based on these rumors. Like, if out of the blue, you were like, hey, you know what? I was at home and we suddenly got
two tickets to go and see Phil Collins, I'd be like, oh no, but I'm not going there. I'm not sitting there. Your seat's down the front. Oh, fuck, it's happening again. Yeah.
But so you are banking on the fact, if you're Phil,
yeah,
that this guy is a Phil Collins fan, that he's want to go. Because, you know, we get, you and I often are offered tickets to go see things and whatever. And if you're not into it, you often won't go. So
I've turned down heaps of things. Imagine if there are people trying to go see Finger Me for a Crime.
Or Limp Bizkit. Fred Durst. Like,
got invited to the opening night of a Lion King, but I did not go because I thought that Simba was going to finger me for a crime.
Okay, so this guy says, I heard a similar story about 10 years ago. I believe that I heard it on Casey Kasem's Top 40. Okay. Casey Kasem's Top 40. According to my memory, Phil and his buddy,
okay,
so there's another one, were sailing and a downpour started, which caused the boat to capsize. Phil was swimming to shore with his friend and saw a guy sitting on his dock just watching him. He screamed for him to help. Apparently the guy had a boat and everything. But the guy just sat there and watched. Phil made it back to shore, but his friend drowned. Phil later tracked this guy down and sent him front row tickets to a nearby concert. The guy showed up and Phil did blah, blah, blah. Again, he's not very direct, Phil. Is that why Genesis broke up? It's like the other two guys in Genesis were like...
Well, you know how they found out they'd broken up. Phil invited them to a concert and he'd written a song about it. You guys are not in the band anymore.
So Snopes butt in here. So yes, in between all the anecdotes, say the non-specific nature of the song's
specificity. Now I can't do it. Specificity.
Specificity.
Specificity. Oh my God.
How do you pronounce it? Specificity. That's right. This show is improved out of sight in the last 10 years. The non-specific nature of the song's lyrics allowed for a variety of interpretations with lines such as, well, if you told me you were drowning, I would not lend you a hand.
Okay, let's go through the lyrics. That's what I want
to know.
Okay, you got it. I'm going to look up the lyrics of In the Air Tonight because I want to see if we can...
Oh, I've got them lyrics. Here.
Oh, you've got them all there? All
right. Yeah.
Good.
Okay. Right. I can feel it coming in the air tonight, oh Lord. I've been waiting for this moment all my life, oh Lord. Can you feel it coming in the air tonight, oh Lord? If you told me you were drowning, I would not lend a hand. Okay. I've seen your face before, my friend, but I don't know if you know who I am.
Okay, so that fits into the... Okay, so with these lyrics so far, my number one choice of all the rumors is the guy who assaulted his wife.
Right.
Because you're talking about, like, you know, coming in the air tonight, you know, and then it's suddenly like, you don't know who I am, but I know who you are, mate.
But he would know who Phil was, you'd think. There's probably more of a chance, unless it's like a random attack.
Yeah, a random
attack. That's a random attack. Yeah. Okay. So it wasn't like an affair or anything like that. Okay. All right. You don't know who I am. Well, I was there and I saw what you did and I saw with my own two eyes. So you can wipe off the grin. I know where you've been. It's all been a pack of lies. Okay. I can feel it they're coming in the air tonight. Well, I remember.
Remember?
I remember. Don't worry. How could I ever forget? It's the first time, the last time we ever met. But I know the reason why you keep your silence up. No, you don't fool me. The hurt doesn't show, but the pain still grows. It's no stranger to you and me. I don't know whether the drums all have gone in one of those two places. Okay, this is Snopes. Lighting effects used when Collins performed the song on subsequent tours may have fed versions of the legend that end with the perpetrator being identified and singled out via the spotlight. And then this is another person's story. In the Air Tonight gives me chills. I saw a film perform it live on his Into the Light tour, and it was really cool. The stadium was completely dark, except for these lights encircling the stage that stretched out and started to look through the crowd. The lights looked like those things that a submarine uses to see the surface.
Oh, yeah. Those lights that we all
know really well.
What a great relatable example. If people couldn't imagine what lights looked like at a concert, that has really cleared it up.
Lights in the submarine. I didn't know submarines had lights that looked for the surface.
So hang on. You're telling me we've gone to a rock and roll concert and it's dark, but there's some sort of light that's circling the stage? I can't in any way imagine that. Do you have a more clear and accurate example? Submarines? Oh, you got me. I'm in.
The overall effect was really simple. but very effective. It's really neat. Okay, this is Snopes. Well, as Phil Collins has explained numerous times over the years, I bet. In the Air Tonight, as well as most of the Face Value album, deals with his bitterness and frustration over the end of his marriage to his first wife, and the lyrics do not reference any specific real-life event. Under variations, the various forms of legend about the origins of the Phil Collins song encompass many differences in detail. The song is usually said to be about an incident Phil observed, but it's sometimes reported that Collins based the lyrics on an incident he heard about but did not witness. So, like, he took it from a newspaper article or something. The time lapse between Collins witnessing the incident and his writing of the song varies. He wrote this song right away, he waited several years, or he wrote the song many years later because he was a child when the incident took place. Well, that's everything.
Yeah.
That is so nonspecific. The nature of the tragic incident also varies. It is most often a man standing idly by while someone else drowns or nearly drowns. But in other forms, mentioning a deliberate drowning, i.e. a murder, a rape of Collins' wife, or Collins catching his wife in an adulterous act.
Yeah.
The victim takes on several identities. Collins' brother, Collins' wife, but only when the incidents involve sexual assault, a close friend of Collins, a stranger in distress whom Collins recognizes as his wife's attacker but refuses to help. That's the first draft one, I think. That's someone came out and it's like, then they spoke to the editor and they said, it's too many plot points. Just simplify the story. And then Phil Collins himself, who supposedly nearly drowned when his boat capsized. In the versions featuring an anonymous, innocent drowning victim, Collins himself does not provide aid himself because he's either too drunk or stoned, too far away, or too busy soliciting help. Now, I reckon Phil bears some responsibility here because he doesn't know that the other guy wasn't also too drunk or too stoned or maybe had his kids with him or something like that.
He doesn't know that the other guy wasn't writing a song about Phil Collins not helping.
Yeah, they're both looking. Billy Joel and Phil Collins.
The other guy was Billy Joel.
Are both standing on a beach watching someone drown, looking at each other.
Yeah,
going,
well, what about the time that you burnt down that house and blamed me for starting the fire? How about that, Phil?
In versions where Collins learns the identity of the killer, sometimes by hiring a private detective, he invites the man to an upcoming concert and sends him a ticket anonymously. Mm. At the subsequent concert, Collins premieres in the Air Tonight, which he sings while the spotlight shines on the inviting guest. I love that because there are moments in rock concerts where they'll do that, you know, especially if it's a ballad or a love song. Oh, you know, or the camera will isolate on one person and you'd be like, oh, Phil, I love Phil. The camera's on me. And then it's like, j'accuse.
Well, we went to see Leonard Cohen and... what had happened was I was meant to be going to see Leonard Cohen another night. And then my manager, she had to like have an emergency wedding. Her mum was dying. And so they rushed forward their wedding so that her mum could like, you know, enjoy her wedding. And it happened to be the night that we were going to go and see Leonard Cohen. So she did not need to do this, my manager, but she contacted the Sydney Entertainment Centre where the other concert was going to be and said, is there any tickets left? And there wasn't. It was completely sold out. And then a few days before the concert, she rang and said, well, it turns out that there's some tickets and they're not going to make you pay for the tickets because they were tickets that were going to go to a prize winner.
Right.
And the prize winner couldn't come to the concert.
It's great cover for Leonard Cohen to bloody...
And so we go to the concert... And we suddenly realise we are sitting front row centre.
Leonard Cohen's about to accuse you. Leonard Cohen was in Byron Bay. He saw you on the beach when a swimmer was out past the flags. And he's like,
I was too drunk and stoned to help.
It all checks out.